When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it was hot as all get out when I landed last night at 10 o'clock.
Here?
Yeah.
Why are you staying up till 10 o'clock?
Well, hey, flight.
Oh, my friend saw you in the airport again.
Was he singing?
No, I said, if he does anything weird, please video it and send it.
Same friend?
Which airport?
Same friend.
West Monroe.
Oh.
Or Monroe, whatever it is.
Did you fly commercial?
Yeah.
You went to North Dakota?
Yep.
South Dakota? Or
South Dakota.
Oh, South Dakota. Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and then went to Emory for a pheasant hunt.
Did you kill any pheasants?
I killed 8. I killed my limit both days.
There you go.
3 one day and 4 the next.
What? Did you shoot your 28 gauge?
Nope, 20 gauge. A kid from up there lent me his 20 gauge.
Okay.
Did you have fun?
Oh, yeah. I had a blast.
Did you wear all the garb?
Oh, yeah. You got to wear the orange.
Did you bring any birds back?
I look like a big pumpkin because I was sitting down on a chair. I was the blocker.
You were the
blocker? You got beaters, you got the dogs, and then you got the shotgunners with the beaters and the dogs.
And then you got blockers.
Then you got blockers, and me and Undertaker were a blocker.
The Undertaker? Wait, the real Undertaker?
No, yeah. He's a cool dude.
Not the guy we play poker with.
Oh, no. This is the real deal.
The Undertaker.
So it took you a minute and a half into that story to mention that you went pheasant hunting with the Undertaker?
With the Undertaker.
That's a travesty. I'd have led with that.
Oh, no. He's a cool dude, too. Then I played poker with him.
What?
And yeah.
Why am I just now hearing all this?
No. But, hey, you'll love this.
All right.
Yo, I get busted out.
Shocker.
Shock. Anyway, the Undertaker's sitting right next to me on the right. Well, he picks up 6'4". And I said,
Martin.
I said, hey, we've got a name for that. And I said, you need to play it.
I said, you're looking at his cards?
No, yeah.
He's busted out.
Yeah, he busted out. So I'm helping him out. And I said, hey, it's called the Martin. And I said, look, you should shove it all in right now.
And he did it.
I said, because, hey, it's a winner. Well, they was betting big and all that. And the flop come out, I think, a queen 5-3.
Uh-oh, open-ended.
Yeah, So I'm looking at it, and some guy bets he bets like 800, So the Undertaker
dollars?
Folds.
Tournament.
He folds.
Tournament.
He folds, and I said, bad fold. Big man. I said, bad fold. I said, hey, just for giggles, go ahead and show the last card. He did 7.
Straight.
You told that man right there.
I told that man.
I wouldn't have told Undertaker about that.
Was he a pretty cool guy?
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, he's great. And he's a good shotgunner.
Does he go by Mr. Undertaker?
That man didn't miss nothing.
What's his real name?
Mark something.
Did you call him Mark or Mr. Undertaker?
Sir.
I call him Big Man. With Big Man, sir.
How tall is he?
About 6'11", maybe 7 foot. And weighs about 350.
Really?
And it ain't no fat on it. Okay.
Were you nervous or a little bit scared?
No.
He's 6'10", 309.
He's a cool guy. He's what? How tall?
6'10", 309.
Oh, 309.
Did he tombstone you?
Yeah.
He drop you on his
head? No. When he looked at you, you just...
Got a little nervous.
Yeah. No, he's a real cool dude. He really is.
The Undertaker.
He, matter of fact, we're going to try to get him to come hunting with us.
Duck hunting
and deer hunting.
Oh, he ain't going to fit in none of Phil's blinds.
Huh?
You're going to have to build a new blind for him. He ain't going to fit in none of them things Phil got.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if they make weather to fit him.
Oh, he don't need none.
About as tough as he is, probably.
He's an Undertaker. He don't need
a waiter.
He don't need no waiters.
You played poker and went hunting with the Undertaker.
With the Undertaker.
And that's not what you led the story.
Yeah, that was not his main story.
Well, no way.
That's wild.
No, it was wild. And like I said,
he's a part of all of our childhood. Whenever,
oh yeah,
that moment in life when you believe wrestling is real.
Oh no!
Wait a minute. You know?
Wait, what?
Oh no!
No, don't. Yes.
No, hey. I know. I remember the day I come in on leave, and they had been watching somebody, Phil and Jace and all them, and they was into it. You know, Jace was telling me, but it's real. And I said, Jace, I said, I hate to brush your bubble. I said, I'll give you an example. I said, I'll get on the top of Phil's porch, back porch, and I said, you lay down out there in the dirt, and I'm going to jump, and I'm going to land with my knee in your chest. And I said, there's two things. One of two things going
to
happen.
I would like to watch that.
We're going to either bury you or you're going to the hospital for emergency surgery to save your life. I said, you're not going to get up and then beat me after I land with my knee in your chest.
That's called the atomic knee, Si.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Hey,
they believed it.
But we all go through that phase in our life where you believe it's real.
Hey,
then you realize it's the greatest soap opera ever.
Oh, no. Absolutely. They are the greatest.
I'm learning a lot of stuff right now. It's not
They are the greatest stuntmen in the world.
Yep.
If they wasn't, they'd be hurt, seriously hurt. Okay.
Did you ask him about any injuries?
No.
I'd have had to ask him a lot.
Oh, I would too. No. We got to get him on the show.
Yeah, get him hunting.
Get him over here, son.
Oh, no.
In the room.
No.
And then you can hit that gong one time like he used to walk out to.
Dong. Yeah.
Of course, we're going to have to get a bigger door if the measurements are right.
I got a bigger gong.
You got to watch it when a man comes in with a horse-drawn, what's the name of it?
Carriage.
Yeah.
He rode up on a horse?
No, he drives in on the casket holder.
Oh.
Wagon. You know?
When he was wrestling. I thought just said he rode up on a horse to South Dakota.
No.
He may have.
That's a Clydesdale.
He'd have come in carrying the horse. Not riding him. Okay, he'd have him on his shoulder. You know, throw him in the ring.
Mm. I did get to meet Junkyard Dog back in the day.
What did that do for
he
you?
He was awesome.
You know, I can't wait to till he comes here and then Sage, you know, meets him.
Is she a wrestling fan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Sage, she knows them all. Ric Flair, you know, The Undertaker.
She old wrestling.
Oh, no. She likes the old guy.
The Ric Flair walk.
Yeah.
Now Ric Flair with you doing infomercial.
Yeah. No,
after 37 years of research and development and wrestling, let me tell you what works.
Go to Auto General.
No, he just was inducted into the Hall of Fame, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah.
He's the Undertaker.
Yeah. Well, of course he is.
Undertaker. That is awesome.
He's a fantastic dude. He really is.
Was his hand just enormous?
Oh, no.
Did he roll his eyes in the back of his head when he shot?
No.
Dang. No. Man, I couldn't have done that. No. I'd have been that guy.
Hello, Mr.
Undertaker, sir.
Can you do this?
Can we take a picture and you put your arm around me?
Yeah, can you like pick me up like you're about to drop me on my head? Like
that
you
would
used to
be
do all
awesome.
Those
hey,
when we sat down at the poker table, I said, guys, just to let y'all know, I said, hey, if y'all give me any crap, I said, this man here is my security. He'll take care of the little problem.
Oh, big man.
I said, big man, he'll take care of the problem.
He's only 6'10".
And he said, you got it, buddy. I said, that's what I'm talking
about. Well, let's take our first break. We'll be back right after this.
I got big news, Martin.
I ain't reading this.
Martin, I have big news.
I know what the news is, and I'm still bitter.
We're not on this.
I know we're not on. Look,
we were not nominated for a Clove Award, as expected. Sadie was.
They got one beard on the whole thing.
And I don't. Well, that's good. I said this to my wife and said we weren't nominated, and she said, I listened to three of those.
For real?
And I said, do you listen to ours? And she said, no.
No. Well, good thing.
But she listens to Sadie.
We are team players at the end of the day, no matter how bad our feelings are hurt. And so we think that you should go vote at klovefanawards.com for Sadie, and whoa, that's good. Then you scroll on to the movie category.
Then you go and vote.
Film Impact, The Blind is nominated, Martin.
Okay. So I guess technically Si could win, because there was a lot of the movie about Si and The Blind. So, yeah, be sure to vote for The Blind while you're there as well on klovefanawards.com.
That's it.
You're not on the cover or the back of the thing, Si, but...
I ain't worried about it.
You are still my favorite part of the movie.
I ain't worried about it.
Okay. If you love Si Robertson, go vote.
That's it.
Voting for ends Sadie. May 24th and at 6 p.m. Central. All you have to do is go to klofanawards.com to vote for the blind. And whoa, that's good. That's klovefanawards.com.
I just got a notification that there was a...
Uh-oh. What were you notified of? That there's a Black Panther?
No, that there was movement at the crib.
At the crib?
Literally.
There was movement at the crib or in the crib?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Is it a Black Panther?
No, it looks like two young humans.
Look like two wild animals.
They're waking up.
I was trying to figure out which
it's
one
the old
was...
Martin boy.
I was trying to figure out which one was causing their mama grief since today's my first day back in the office.
How is it back? Both You're back them. At work now.
Yeah.
It's... How's the first day?
I'll take it.
Okay, he'll take it, boys, he said.
You went did you go hunting this weekend? You said you were going to.
I went Friday. I didn't see a deer.
Did you take a nap?
Nope.
No?
I was awake the whole time.
You were awake the whole time.
Changed trail cameras.
Didn't see a deer.
Trying to find a black cat for Si.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to have to buy me some more trail cams.
Oh, God.
I'm serious.
For
you
what? Know?
Where are you going to put them?
I figured out, okay, the reason nobody believes in Black Panthers is because they are not publicized or notarized.
He's going to take them.
So I'm going to publicize them. I'm going to notarize them.
You're going to take them to a notary?
No. I can tell you what he's going to do.
I notice him, so I'm going to make sure everybody else knows.
He's going to put the camera on the ground.
Hey.
He's going to walk out there about 10 yards and put a pile of food for Sweet Pea.
No.
And that cat's so big and so fat, you're going to think it's a 100-pound cat.
No.
Because it's already a 60-pound.
Trick photography.
All right. Well, you know how in the emails I get Black Panther pictures, and it's always the same, like, three.
Same
pictures.
One, yeah.
Same three pictures.
I got a new one.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's a new one, boys.
Lincoln from Central Missouri.
Mm.
Oh, that's in the...
He sent this in.
Oh, that was a whitetail there.
That's a deer.
Okay.
That's a deer.
Obviously. But then...
Hey, it's whitetail.
What? This is what was chasing the deer.
Ooh.
Oh, he said this?
I mean, come on, bro.
Thing's a foot tall.
Come on.
What?
Black lab.
That's...
So
what do you mean?
The tail...
Stop hitting me.
Don't even... It's a black lab.
Hit him again, Si.
Lincoln
now,
said this.
Now, unlike Si, I do think that is a cat.
It does look like a cat.
But I think it's a house cat.
No,
I
mean, it ain't. That's a black lab. A young one.
That's all the zoom you got, John Dale?
That's all I got. Oh. Link, this is all Lincoln.
Hey,
saying.
It's a black lab. A young one.
Where do you see dogs?
It's a small animal. It's not a big animal.
It's a what if it's a young Black Panther?
No.
Just like Si.
No.
Baby
no.
Black Panthers always check out the
bee
house.
Start out babies, boys.
Si's not going to validate this one.
Hey.
That's because he thinks it's a dog.
It is a dog. It's a young black lab.
Si, you call it like you see it.
I don't see a lot of canine in that.
Oh, no, I do. Legs.
The tail looks
legs
like a cat.
And the head. Legs and the head.
What about the tail?
I ain't worried about the tail.
Oh.
That's what you
that's
bring up every
dog.
Time.
Spoken,
spoken,
dog. Spoken like every bobcat believer there ever was. I ain't worried about that tail.
This is what everybody says about Si when he says this, he saw a Black Panther. No.
Oh,
man, I got excited when I got this email from Lincoln.
No, that's a fraud. It's a black lab, a young one.
Well, there you have it.
There you go, Lincoln.
You heard it here first, boys.
There you go, Lincoln. It's very clearly a fake. Dog.
Well,
no, the one I seen the other day down there was bigger than that one.
Well, I would hope so.
What did you see that?
Big.
The one you saw with Stone?
This is a new sighting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Stone had, you know, Stone was telling me, I said, well, what'd you see? I said, let me tell you what I saw first. Yeah, we went up at the lair by the time we, you know, I get out and I say, okay, yeah, it's about, you know, where I got my wallet in my front pocket. That's how tall he was. Stone said, that's pretty close. John Stone said, I even hate to say this. He said, I just seen a black cat with a long black tail.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What do you have to say?
Yeah, and look, it's just about, it was like 1,000.
Show me the body.
He's gone. Oh, you'd have had to been
he
quick.
He wants to see the dead
no,
body.
No, you'd have had to been quick to even shoot this thing.
Every time. Too quick. No gun. Same thing, in a curve, on the backside of a hill,
behind
a tree.
I go back to the picture that I know my
anything plan. But anything but out in a bald open with time to get a shot off. That never happens.
Yeah.
I know
unless
my friend,
it's a cat.
My friend took this picture. His name's
there now.
Si, you remember when Bull took the picture of the cat with the teeth coming out the top?
That
that was true.
Okay. That's a pretty good picture there, okay, for one reason. You can't see all of it good enough.
Okay.
No, no, no. I'm serious.
That's a cat, though.
Yeah, that's a good one there.
Because
I've seen that one. That one's been all over the country. Yeah, somebody sent that in.
You know it's legitimate when it's in a Facebook group called Country Folks.
That is a good one there, though. Because it's just enough.
Look, and at the risk of offending some of our fans who may be members of that group, I apologize.
Yeah, that was a good one, though, because it was just dark enough and just, you know, okay, well, that one looked awful chocolate, too.
It looked like a chocolate cat, not a black one.
Yeah. Jonathan from Slidell sent that one in yesterday. But I'm pretty sure I've seen this photo.
That is good.
And it what that's if that country folk says that's in Arkansas. I don't know.
South Logan County.
I've seen that one been in a couple places.
Yeah.
That one's a good one. They've done a good job on that one.
Man.
But hey, no, the one that Bull took, okay, he works on it actually blew a transformer. And he pulled it out after they put it out.
That's my problem. I've been looking too low.
Well, I need to be looking high. Oh, no, no, no.
Ain't you watching Jungle Book?
They're right there next to the pigs that fly. That's cool.
But, hey, I'm telling you, this thing, if when you looked at it, that joker had teeth like this. He looked like a vampire.
It was a bat, actually.
You talking about ugly. That boy was whooped with an ugly stick plus electrocuted.
Yeah.
You know?
What?
But it was wild.
Wait, so it had teeth like a vampire. Are you implying vampires are...
Well, no, no.
I'm just curious.
Well, hey, there is a vampire bat.
See?
Okay. No, no. I'm serious. That's the name of it. And he's got big teeth, too. Okay.
Thank you.
Now, whether he's a bloodsucker or not, I don't know. But, hey, now that I think, he is a bloodsucker.
Yeah. Now that he thinks about it.
No, no. Now that I think about it, because it showed him on the neck of a cow.
Johnny D, run it.
Well, I don't even know what we're talking about.
Vampire bat.
Hey,
sorry, vampire I was bat. Looking up the Jungle Book because
vampire bat.
Vampire bat.
Vampire bat. I want to see this picture of him hanging blood. Off the neck of a cat.
Yeah, and he likes blood. Okay.
I'm interested in hanging off the neck of a cow by a bat. That, I find that truly interesting.
Oh, it's in the
You truck. Never ran across that, Mark?
And, hey, while we're in a little sidebar waiting on this. Did you see our friend Marty Smith, who was on our podcast, what he did? Guinness World Record holder.
Uh-oh.
Is that a cow?
Uh-oh.
That's a pig.
That's a pig.
Uh-oh.
That's all I got.
Cow, pig.
And look, he had teeth as big as that thing.
What?
Vampire bat's pretty small,
dude. He fits
securely
on the back of the neck of a pig, and he had teeth as big as him. That teeth be about that big, Si.
Well, no, I'm just saying, hey.
Vampire bats freak me out. Bats freak me out. Why are we talking about
bats? Are they wild? They're nasty.
Okay, it's dangerous. Yo, they got a lot of diseases.
The rats of the nighttime sky. Anyway,
because when the scientists go in to study them, they wear mock gear. Okay,
what's that, bat?
Studies on bats because they're nasty.
We did some of that mess in college where we like trap bats. At night with a net.
Yep.
Nope.
Nah, man, I don't trust them things.
Oh, we done it with a cane pole.
And a cork on the end of it?
No, no.
Or a bobber.
Just with a little piece of white cloth on it, and you just...
Yeah.
And you whack!
What?
Yeah, it's a lot easier if you put up a piece of net and let them fly into it, and drop the net down.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Y'all are knocking them out for
knocking
good.
Knocking them out with a cane pole, boys.
They eating mosquitoes. You up there?
They
just
do.
Yep.
I got bat boxes at my house.
No, but they mean.
Oh, no.
They mean. When you get them untangled out of that net, they mean. They bite anything around them. Oh, no.
And not only that, they're really unique.
They're cool, though.
No, no. It's a unique critter.
I just don't want one of them on me.
You know, because they got sonar.
Mm-hmm.
They make a little screech, and whatever it bounces off of, that's how they catch mosquitoes and stuff.
Echolocation.
No, no, I'm serious.
I didn't hear nothing bounce back.
No, no.
No, it kept going.
Ain't no food inside.
Ain't no food.
But, hey, think about the hearing on them things.
Oh, yeah, that's
they make
wild.
A little screech, and it bounces off of a mosquito. And then they
got him.
Yeah, that's
in the dark, man.
Yeah, in the dark, no less.
The field mouse is fast.
No, no.
But the
That hey, that just reminds me. PBS again.
Uh
oh.
No, no.
Here we go.
Buckle up.
Owls. Owls. Ooh, all different ooh, kinds of owls. Yo, you got to think about this. They got, I think, three sets of hearing devices in their head.
Ears?
Yeah. One, yo, and you got to think of this. The snow is 2 foot deep. There is a field rat or mouse under that 2 foot snow.
This is true. I've seen this.
No, no. They said it's true. They know how fast they've got to fly when they hit that snow. They got to know how fast they fly and how deep he is, and then they get him.
Imagine if you was a rat. You up under the snow. No, you're no, like, oh, you're I got under, this.
You're thinking you're
two,
safe.
Yeah, you got 2 foot of snow on top of you.
You're like, man, let me go get some seeds. It's a little cold out. Yeah. I'll be fine. Ain't no thing.
Whop. And look, they're the only ones that no noise is made when they fly.
Stealth.
Owls freak me out. Hey,
that's where they come up with the stealth for our planes was owl. They done studies on him. He don't make any noise when he's flying.
That's owl? The exact opposite of our owl.
No, no.
He makes a lot of noise.
Well, one of them is, does not make any noise. He flies through the night silently.
Silent killer.
Okay, a silent killer.
No, owls are cool.
One time I was up in a deer stand, and all of a sudden there was an owl about 3 feet from
me.
We
got one down there. Where
I don't know where
we got
from.
One down there where we duck hunt, one of them barn owls. And a lot of times I'll mess with people and pull up to that barn in the dark and just leave my headlights on. And when I say, walk in there and get them decoys out of that barn. And when by the time they bust the door of that barn, he come flying out, that big white face looking at you.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you start saying some things then if you don't know he's there.
Me and Stone are deer hunting in my deer stand, okay? And we've got it where we've got slits about this wide. So we're sitting there, you know, any time, and something comes buzzing by right in front of us. And he lands on a big oak tree, a knot on it, and it's an owl. Well, Stone starts making squeaky noises with his mouth. I've got on gloves that are brown. So I get on top of the 2x4 in the slit.
That's dumb.
No, 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 no.
You're about to get talons injected into you.
So I'm doing this and then getting off the, get like he's running up and down the board. You know, Stone is videoing this stupid thing because he's sitting over on this knot like this. And when Stone made a little squeaky noise, he done this. And then when I done like this, over on it, that sucker, here he comes.
Okay? After your hand?
No, no. Here he comes, and Stone fell over backwards. He was doing a video because this thing tried to come in that little bitty slit.
Did you move your hand?
Oh, did we move? Stone fell
you
over.
You big chicken.
And I said, tell me you got that on your video. And he said, no, I was just worried about getting out of the way because he had about a 2 foot wingspan. And he was fixing to come in there and get that mouse. Yeah, I laughed for 30 minutes after that. Deer hunt's over, boys. We done run everything off laughing. It was hilarious.
Well, let's take another break. We'll be back right after this. Hey, Johnny D, one of them made him squawk back in the day.
What happened, Johnny D?
Where what? Was that?
That was in my mom's
house. Yeah, there was a hurt owl, and we were going to go get it and take it to where?
The rescue place out there at Wildlife and Fish.
Yeah, so they're like, just go throw a blanket over it. Well, that thing was hurt, but he was looking at me funny. So we were going to put a blanket over it. Oh, you know.
We got a video of that somewhere, don't we?
Somewhere.
I don't know where it is.
I hope not. Yeah. And so I go to throw the blanket. Well, the blanket literally just goes and falls straight down, and I jump back.
But we got him.
Well, I didn't do anything. I got made fun of and then told to go sit on the side and watch.
Yeah,
somebody else.
Well, we got the cover over him, and I picked him up and put him in a dog kennel and took him out there for him to fix his wing. He done broke his wing. One of them big old great horned.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a cool one. I love him things.
Oh no,
they scare me. There's one by my house right now. We hear them at night.
Yeah, they're freaky, but I mean they're cool animals. I like all things owl.
They got a little bitty one.
Screech owl.
Yeah, little tiny thing.
Oh yeah, he live in wood duck boxes.
He's about the size of a dove.
Mm-hmm. He's smaller than that once you get him in your hand. There ain't much meat to him.
I
banded a bunch of them.
Christine's mom and dad. He would come up. He had a nest on their porch under.
Mm-hmm. They're cavity nesters. They like to get inside of things and nest. Yeah,
he was cool. Little old bitty thing, miniature. Huh. You know. They're cool looking though.
When we did it, when I did it in college for wood duck boxes, they get in them screech owls would nest in those duck boxes too, and they, man, they's rough on tree frogs. That's all they ate was like green tree frogs.
Okay.
Because they were little and they feed them to their little ones.
Yeah.
And I'd go in there, I'd get to know the whole family before they got out of there. But them little rascals mean too. Now you,
oh, no.
He sleep during the day, but you grab him and wake him up. He gets a little life about him.
Yeah.
And then he really don't like it when you put that band on his leg.
He's pretty though.
Oh, they're pretty cool. Fun. Yeah, they make it. There's a red one and a gray one.
Yeah.
And they're same critter, just different color phases. And man, they're a neat little animal. They are.
Ooh. Ooh.
Can they turn their head all the way around?
They could turn it uncomfortably far.
No, no, yeah.
I don't know that it went all the way, but that's what I'd always try to grab him behind the head. Next thing you know, he's looking at you.
Yeah,
I'm like, hey, time out now.
Don't be doing that.
Quit that. I'm trying to get away from you. But I don't know just how far range of motion they got, but they can, well, they can go further than you like.
Yeah, I know that they've got excellent eyesight in the dark, and their hearing system is.
They ruffle ducks
out of this world.
They eat a lot of ducks.
Yeah,
don't let them fool you. They catch a lot of ducks in them woods.
Well, that
big great horned one.
They hit squirrels bad.
Yeah, they rough on squirrels. Yeah. They're pretty effective predators, is what they are. That's what's cool about that barn owl down there at the camp. You can go down there and pick up his pellets where he regurgitates all the fur and stuff, and you can go through there and see what he's been eating. You ain't ever have to do that in school. Go through an owl pellet.
Oh no! Well, they didn't have those classes.
At the Christian school?
No.
That's just for us public.
At the private school,
I would thought that must be a college course.
We did that. I did that like three or four different times in school in biology classes. I loved it.
Not only that, if you're gathering, it's intelligent gathering.
Huh.
No, I'm serious. Because Phil, we go out to Darbone Lake, and he had 14 holes to bass fish. Well, first thing he'd do, when he'd catch one out in the water somewhere, he'd take a fillet knife, slice him, and cut his stomach open. See what he was eating.
See what he's been eating.
Oh.
See what he was eating.
I didn't know we were going with this.
No. Hey, see what he was eating, and you'd hear that 20-horse Mercury crank up, and hey, here we go. He said, I know where a whole bunch of that is. Then we'd come around the bend, shut it off, and then ever cast.
Thought he was tying something inside of his stomach, sending him back out in the water to go find the rest of fish. I didn't know where we was going.
Find what he's eating on, and then hey, he knew where it was at, and go wear him out, fill a cooler up.
There you go.
In just a matter of minutes. I'm serious.
Of minutes.
So, intelligence gathering.
Intelligence gathering.
Yeah, the only problem is we ain't hunting that owl.
Well, he's hunting everything around him. That baby there,
whooping him too.
Yeah, yeah, and he wins.
Yeah, in the end.
Yeah, he wins.
Owl wins.
Yeah, no, he's a.
They've got some, unreal. Their hearing system is three different distinct things that it does. Just think about your depth of, figuring the depth on like snow, and then knowing how fast he's got to fly and hit it to catch him.
Hey, but that all started with this one single cell thing that called out the water.
Yeah, sure it did. Sure it did.
I figured I'd get you fired up on that one.
Yeah, that dog won't hunt, folks. Okay.
Si, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
So I was helping Phil back in my younger days. I was helping Phil with a duck blind, and we were riding by one of his bass holes. And he just wanted to throw a lure in there and see if there were any bass there. But the way he did it was unusual to me. Because he threw it out there and just reeled it as fast as he could reel it. And I said, that's no finesse. That's the way you do it. And he was like, yep, every time I throw it out, it's just fast as you can reel it. Is that?
No, it depends on what the bait. That's like the topwater bait that you bring back. It's got this
whopper plopper.
The whopper plopper.
It's imitating the bait.
Okay. I thought it was unusual.
He was looking for a school of fish. What he was doing.
Maybe so.
Trying to get the whole school.
And back then, reels were slow.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Yeah, they ain't like they are now.
And then the other times, you've got to throw it, let it go all the way to the bottom, and then just you actually bunny hop it off of the bottom. Just bring it up, let it fall.
Yo-yo.
Fall.
Bunny hop.
And then, yeah. And then normally when you bunny hop it, you bring it up, and when it falls, that's when they knock the fire out of it.
Hmm.
You know? Because we did that with Bull over on Jay Fenton's place. It's a lead head, okay, and you actually put your line through the lead head weight in the middle, tie a treble hook on it, and it's got a little spinner on the back of it, little bitty thing. That costs like 25, 30 cents a piece, you know, inexpensive. So if you hang it up and break it off, hey, put another one on it. You bought 100 of them.
Run it back.
Yeah, and they will. They'll eat it up.
Y'all got any of them?
Sure. I don't even know what you said, but I'll make sure we do.
Wing ding or something like that.
Oh,
all
yeah.
It is just got a little, it's a little lead head, and it's got a hole through the middle of the bait, tie a treble hook on the bottom of it, and it's got a little spinner. You just throw it out there and let it hit the bottom, and then you just bunny hop it, what I call it. Just pick it up and, you know, like 4 inches, let it fall, and every time you let it fall, whoa.
There you go.
And boom. Then bring him in.
Well, let's bunny hop our way in this next break. We'll be back right after.
Finesse our way.
Hey, energize our bunny, boys.
Johnny D.
No. Okay.
What do you mean, no?
Oh, yeah, I only bring it up because there's probably somebody listening to this that may be going through the same thing or has recently.
I did not have a good weekend.
Or is preparing to go through the same thing.
What?
My dog's no longer with us.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
That's bad.
Dublin passed away.
Ugh.
Yep, that's bad.
Yeah, it was a rough weekend. Oh, boy. Well, I thought I was going to be good, too. That's the weirdest part.
Oh, man, he's 14 years of your life. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I got him whenever. Jeez, Louise, here we go again. I got him when I was 19 and a half, I guess.
Man, you were still young enough then to count half years. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
19 and a half-ish. And I thought he died about 20 times by now, but he just kept trugging along and
kept hanging on.
Hanging out with all three of our kids. But yeah, on Friday, I had to take him to the vet, and it was time. Oh, boy. You know, you don't know. It's tough because you don't want your dog to suffer. And
amen to that.
I didn't know. The vet told me it was the right time, so she made me feel better.
That's good.
Shout out to the people at the animal hospital right up the road. They were incredible that morning. Watching a big dude like me boohoo over the dog. I mean, I was a mess.
Hey.
And I didn't think I would be because, you know.
How can you not be?
I don't know.
That dog been through every milestone of your life.
I think so. That's your childhood buddy there.
Yeah, there we are.
Way back when.
Yeah, you know.
That's me in Dublin. And then here's my we've been going through the pictures and all that. Look at those guys.
Look at him. Look at little fat Ben's there in the middle.
And so the toughest part, and I literally took a day off of work. I knew it would be a sad day. I did not know I was gonna be a complete and total disaster of a mess. When the kids got home from school.
That's rough.
Nobody prepares you for that in life. And 2 years ago, he got bit by that raccoon, and I thought that was it. Like, when I took him to the vet, I was like, I don't think he's going to make it. 2 years later, here we are. So, like, I kind of had the conversation with him then. About a month ago, we talked about it, and they, like, cried themselves to sleep. So I was like, oh, boy. But they took it all right. I don't know.
How old are they again?
Eight, 6, and 3.
Yeah.
I don't even know how old my kids are.
Been any questions come up since it happened? Like, any of them forget and then be like, where's Dublin? Or
not really. I keep doing stuff, though, that, like, and I go to, like when I got home from church yesterday, I went to let him out. And I was like,
Yeah, let me go. Never mind.
Yeah.
No. That reminds me when Bullet, a little cur dog that we had growing up, we're getting on the bus. He actually gets run over in front of the bus.
Oh.
All the kids on the school bus knew him. Traumatic. Okay, he gets run over with a wagon behind a tractor.
What turn did we just take?
Well, no. I was just gonna tell you, hey, and look. By the time we got to school, everybody on the bus is crying, including the bus driver. Mm. And then when we go to class, everybody in class is crying because they all knew him.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so it's a, that's a monumental thing there.
Look.
Your
there's an attachment to a dog, for sure.
Well, yeah, and they don't know life without, like.
That's what, I mean, our dog Jude is 8 now, so you know in a lab, we're running out on lab years.
Well,
I mean,
Basset Hounds are like 11 to 12, and like Dublin was like, no, he ate more chocolate, he chewed up more diapers. Like, he did not. He shouldn't have been, and you know, the Lord bless us with a dog that
some
had nine lives.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
You know, it was tough, and Ben's took it probably the hardest.
I can see that.
So our dog sits on our back porch, and our house is up off the ground. There's like 15 steps down, and he just looks over his kingdom of our backyard. And when I told him, Ben's like walked over and looked, and I was like, "Stay strong, stay strong." I look at my wife, who you know. Dog had run his course with her, but she's boo-hooing, and then this is the line that just the whole house melted down. Ben's looked at me and goes, "So we don't have a dog anymore?" Oh. And I was like, my wife was like, because we've known it was coming. And so
when you get on that phone quick. Say, what kind you want? What are you thinking? We want something that don't shed.
Basset Hounds.
Well, I'm glad you told the kids. Yep. You know what I mean? I'm glad you told them.
Oh, no, it was a life lesson. Well, and what's funny is, so a lot of our friends are, you know, they're in the same stage of life as us. So, you know, it's a normal thing to get married, which I got a dog. Allison dumped me, so I got a dog named Dublin to cope, and then she came crawling back.
Is your next one going to be named Belfast?
No, we're not.
I like it.
We're holding off for a while.
I'm just curious if we're going to keep the Irish theme or like.
So it's pretty fresh, and, you know, this morning was tough, too. I was like, this is just, I went back to work.
I knew when you texted me and said, hey, do you want us food? I'm cleaning out all this stuff. You were like, I don't want to look at this stuff. I don't want to be reminded. Yeah. I need it out. And look, I get it.
Yeah.
I've been there, done that. And when ours passes away, that we got Jude like 2 months before we got married. I mean, Jude been there through our whole marriage.
Yeah.
Like, so when that happens.
Oh, it's tough.
I'm going to try to hopefully see it coming and have Jude 2 there about 6 months before that happens.
See, we decided we're going to take a little break. This morning, I might have looked at a couple Basset Hound puppies.
Yeah, see? Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Let me tell you, I'm glad that you told your kids, because my parents didn't tell me and my brothers, when we were growing up, we had two dogs, Fredis and Creddy. No, Credis and Freddy. There we go.
Who named them dogs?
I was 6 years old. I don't know who named them. All I know is I walked out in the backyard and the dogs were gone. And so my dad was like, yeah, I had to take them to the dog hospital. You know, so they were gone a few days. So when we were at church, I think it was a Wednesday night, Sister Sarah said, are there any prayer requests? I said, yeah, Freddy and Credis are in the dog hospital and I need them back, you know? And so we prayed for the dogs, and then my older brother said I had to go to Sister Sarah and tell her the dogs were already dead. So I didn't find out until later in life, you know, that the dogs, they were gone. Wish somebody would have sat down and said, these are life lessons. Listen, you know, first of all, prepare your child for what's fixing to happen. You know, give them a little advance notice and be healthy about it, not just like, somebody stole them in the middle of the night.
We did the best we could. And then I buried them right over kind of beside our driveway, which I'm starting to think was a mistake, because every time I leave and every time I come home, I'm like, I look over it.
Yeah, but that's
where I buried them. But after we told them, we all walked down there.
Had a little service.
We just we all bawling together. Ben's prayed, and it was just like, thank you for that. It sucked.
Yeah.
But it was a really, you know, 14 years of your life with a dog. I've been quoted on this podcast to say dogs aren't in heaven.
Wrong.
I will say Dublin's got a 50-50 shot, because he's going to have to face some judgment for some of the things he did.
No.
But I hope he's there.
Oh, he is there.
And
they made a movie about it for crying out loud.
Go to heaven.
I wish you'd quit denying that.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah, and maybe they all go there.
Maybe he's hanging out with Sarge, my Basset Hound from when I was a baby.
See, there you go.
Didn't like me, and I didn't like Sarge, but now that I'm older. But, yeah, it was a tough week. I'm still kind of just blah.
Oh, and you still will be.
Thanks.
I mean, that's just part of it.
The grieving process. It's going to take you a while to get over it.
Absolutely.
But he was a cool dog, and we had a lot of fun together, and he was loud. He probably kept Jeff and Jessica up across the pond for – they're probably wondering what's happening.
The one thing I remember about that dog, he had the longest toenails. He was a digger, son.
Thick.
He could have dug from here to China.
Yeah.
I mean, like, legit. Like, he – that boy could dig.
He could sniff it out, too. Yeah. So, and he whooped that possum that one time it got in our
back. Oh, he's definition of a hound dog, and that's good for him. He lived a life worthy of a hound dog, so that's good for him. A
lot of naps on that back porch.
Yeah.
I don't like looking at my back porch right now because he's supposed to be sleeping out there. But
hey, get you another one. He'll sleep out there.
Oh, we're going back.
Come home. All you got to do is come home with one.
I ain't ready for Dublin.
Yeah, he's ready, boy.
I ain't ready, but one day we probably will be. And
what are you going to call him? Like Dubs? Like Deuce? Or
if two Dublin Dubs. I might get a girl.
Yeah.
And that would have been Flo. I like the name Flo for a dog.
Progressive. That's cool.
Flo.
Man. Well, it was, you know, but Dublin, I don't think there'll ever be another Dublin.
So. There you go. Hey, Deuce, Dubs, there's all kinds of things. Right. Your wife will come up with something.
I'd probably just let my kids name it, and it'll probably be as weird as Freddie and Creddy.
I still don't know what Creddy is.
And Coutrons.
Well, Dublin, rest in peace.
Rest assured
that we know where you're at because they made a movie about it. All dogs go to heaven.
All dogs.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And every cat faces judgment.
So. No, they don't even get that. Sweet pea,
you're out, baby.
No, I didn't say he's out. I just said you face judgment.
More harsh judgment.
He's gonna have to answer more.
Yeah, you got judgment coming, Sweet Pea.
Yeah, Sweet Pea gonna have to answer for that.
I just want to say before we go to break, though.
Go ahead.
I didn't cry.
Okay.
I'm close, but I'm solid.
That's good. Hey, it don't matter if you do. Sometimes you just got to get it out of you. I haven't cried today. That's good.
So it's coming. I will when I drive home. When I pull in the driveway, for sure, I will. Last night, my mom, we go eat dinner at my mom and dad's house, and I hadn't seen my mom yet. She just comes up and hugs me and kisses me on the cheek. I just lose it.
My
dad goes, "Now, why would you do that to the boy?"
Why would you do that?
And my mom goes, "I just know it's tough and I haven't seen him."
Oh, fantastic. Well, look at that. You can always look back at that right there.
That's a picture that I will always have right there.
Guaranteed.
That's a good
look at that big headed Benz. Good grief.
All right, now
we'll be back after this. Johnny D.
What y'all want to talk about?
Dog.
Whatever's on that.
Whatever you come up with. I love my dog. I love that dog.
I love all dogs.
All right. Yeah. Peyton from Monroeville, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
He's from LA too, lower Alabama.
Alabama.
All right. So he's got a 6-year-old son. He loves hunting, fishing, all the things. Fairly avid outdoorsman. Whenever they get a chance, he wants to be outside. Great thing. He loves hunting. He's just super into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where he's too into it, maybe. Over the last year or two, he has become obsessed with the idea that any wild animal that may cross, it's time to take them out.
I like him.
Hunting style. So he wants them to be passionate about the outdoors. But he wants, how do we dial back the, if it's brown, it's down, like, we're just going to take out
everything. Oh, the
son? Yeah, the son.
The kid is having that problem?
No, not the adult. Not the adult.
No problem. Not a problem at all. Every kid goes through it.
See, I had no idea
about this. It's the steps of an outdoorsman.
Okay.
You got these stages. I call it, his kid's in that bloodlust stage, where all that matters is the kill. Nothing else matters right now. For whatever reason, I think you see it in like animals that hunt to survive. I mean, I think it's all a process in learning what that is about. He just has to temper it from his side of teaching his son, instead of about the hunt and the kill, let's talk about conservation. Let's talk about why we do these things. Let's change the narrative from the hunt and the success of the kill to why we're doing what we do. And his kid at 6 is old enough. Then you start taking him out there looking at trees, looking at grasses, looking at this, looking at that, and start explaining that side. And you'll see this kid. You got him hooked.
Yeah, well, he's
done.
Hooked.
You got him hooked. You did the hard part. You got him hooked on the outdoors in a technology-based time. You've done the hard part. Now let's teach him why those things are there. why we do what we do. It is not simply for a hunt and a kill. It is to provide meat for your family. It is to manage populations, to control disease. It is, there's 100 different things of why hunting is conservation and why we fund all the dollars that allow that to happen. That's the story you have to start telling him now. You got the heart, you got the fun, the adrenaline, that's there. That's a hard thing to get in them. But once that's in them, it don't leave. Now you have to harness that energy into something better, which means taking him on stuff of more than just the hunt. Take him on the work days. Take him on the stuff that is not very fun to do when it comes to hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And then his kid will be like, oh, I get it now. This whole process makes sense.
Imitate the behavior that you want him to see.
That's exactly right. If you and your buddies get fired up about it and still are celebrating and trying to stack deer up like cordwoods, you're in Lower Alabama. I know you ain't duck hunting. So I'm assuming that he's got fired up about deer hunting. And I know y'all have very liberal laws in Alabama when it comes to female deer, which you should. You got a bunch of them.
Stack deer up like cordwood is a new one, by the way.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, that's what happens on them things. When you go to the camp and the camp's got 30 members and everybody killed one, they're stacked up at that skinny shed like cordwood. Yeah. And so you have to start, just like Philip said, start showing a little restraint. No, I tell you what, today we ain't going to do that. We're just going to watch them. And then you just start developing an appreciation for nature in there. Because the fun is obviously there. I mean, my buddy Ben's two kids went through it. Like, I was like, there ain't going to be a deer left here by the time these boys get done. I mean, they was fill them tags up, fill them six up. And then we started involving them in the tractor work and the chainsawing and the hanging of the stands. And then all of a sudden, it meant more to them. So now when they go, they enjoy the hunt. Like, they're there for the full circle. So that's where this kid's at. And you'll be fine.
I'll say that I've learned something from Si. We've hunted a lot together, but just the respect that he has for animals. When you were hunting in Germany, you used to say that there was a...
Well, they honor the game, you know, which I enjoyed, you know, because, like, they give it what they call the last rites. Like when you shoot a deer, okay, you break a limb with some, you know, acorns on it and put it in his mouth.
Well, that's cool.
You're honoring the game that you just harvested.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. And like I tell people all the time, especially animal rights wackos, okay.
Wackos.
Well, no. Wackos. I do. Because they tell me, why do you shoot that defenseless animal? And I always tell them, hey, you're showing your ignorance. Number one, they're not defenseless. Number two, okay, I spend more time watching wildlife because if pulling the trigger was all there was to hunting, I'd sell every gun I had and never go again.
Yep. Agree. Okay.
Good point.
I actually go out and enjoy what God has created, okay, and then actually put us in charge of to take care of them, manage them, okay. You know, and the Bible says it very plainly, okay? You know, rise, kill, and eat. Okay, so I've got orders from headquarters to, hey, kill it and grill it, Jack. And matter of fact, I love it.
I do the same thing. Every duck I kill, that either the dog brings me or I go out there and get, first thing I do, I pick them up by the foot, every one of them. I grab him by his foot and I just look at him. And I sit there and I wonder, what all have you seen?
No.
What on your trips to and fro, however old you are, whether you're 6 months old or whether you're, you know, 5 or 6 years old, and you only know that if they're banded. But just looking at that, I'm like, man, what have you encountered along the way
You get a band and it's 12 years old. This duck you just shot has made 12 migrations.
Yeah.
Okay, which is pretty amazing.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he made it all the way from the Canadian prairies 12 times. This time, he messed up. He got in front of you, and you took him out.
Yeah.
You know? It's
just a cool thing. But you go through that. Every hunter goes through those stages of development. I see it every time. Every time you hunt with kids, a lot of time they're in that more stage, and then you get to after, and it don't really matter the age, because you can be a kid at 30 doing this if it's new to you. It's more, and then it starts tempering, and the more becomes quality, then the quality becomes conservation. And next thing you know, you end up sitting at the camp because the weather's not exactly how you wanted it, and you watch stuff fly by, watch deer walk by. You ain't even mad at them no more. Yeah. That's what I call it. You just ain't even mad at them. You look at them and say, you know what? Today I'm good. I'm fine.
Because up there with Red Dog,
mm-hmm.
when we're in the lodge, he's got a big fine spot scope, and there's deer coming out to feed her, and we're watching them. You know, we're watching them through the deer. I'm like, well, that one there is 4 years old. He's got one more year, and we got to chase him down and pop him. Okay, so it's more to it, okay, and especially when you get Stone has got me into the management part of deer hunting.
Yeah, that's the fun part.
You no longer need actually, instant gratification.
Yeah. It's a lot more fun to watch, okay, because last year, okay, we looked at, probably 25 8-points.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we had a hit list, which was great, and the best part of it was, okay, we had 11 deer we wanted to shoot, and we killed every one of them, but the cool part was everybody in our outfit killed, you know. We didn't, like, I didn't kill six.
Mm-hmm.
I killed one deer. I was specifically hunting that one deer.
And that's the best part to me.
No.
Pick one and match width with it. Don't go window shopping.
And look, it was about 7 times before I actually got, finally he walked out and I got him.
Yeah. Pick you one and match wits with it.
Yeah.
Then when you do that, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, no.
And if you need meat, there's plenty of does that need to be taken for the health of the land.
No, because we just did that the other day. What? It was Chad's little girl went with us, Emily, and then BK and me and Stone, and I shot a doe.
Just the children inside.
BK shot a doe, and Emily shot a doe.
So I got to hunt on youth weekend.
You know? Yeah.
That's right. He's still 14.
There you go.
That's mine.
I'm never growing old.
Well, you want to send us out of here, Johnny D?
Yeah. So here's the one my dad sends me a verse every morning, and the day after Dublin passed, this is the one he sent me. So Psalm 42:5, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior and my God. Even on our toughest days, there's still hope in the Lord. And we always got hope with him. So no matter what you're going through, if it's a dog dying, which on the grand scheme of things can tough in the moment, but it's pretty light. If it's a family member, whatever it is, we still have hope in Jesus.
Amen.
And if we're following him, this old life here on this blue and green ball we call Earth can be pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
And very short in the grand scheme of what we believe in. So, all right, we'll see y'all next time right here. We're out.